All right, welcome to Wednesday's show. We're greatest in trades, and we got a lot of baseball to talk about, including a vow from Justin Verlander. I'm Adam Azer with Al Melchior and Scott White. Who let you down the most yesterday, guys? One guy that just really let you down in Tuesday's action.
Well, I think the guy you just mentioned, Justin Verlander, who was having a pretty good week up until last night.
That's true. Shame on me for thinking. I was like, oh, he's gonna pitch great. He just got engaged. He's like gonna be so pumped. His beautiful bride to be. And no, it wasn't even close. Who let you down, Scott White?
I'm gonna go with Matt Harvey.
Yes,
as the letdown. After looking like he had made some progress last time out. Then has a big stinker against the Braves of all teams. The Braves with, I think, Kelly Johnson batting cleanup. Come on, Matt Harvey.
Yeah, that was who I was going to nominate. But I'll just say Sonny Gray then. We'll talk about all these guys. We'll talk about a lot more. And yes, try to grade your trades. Fantasy baseball at CBSi.com. Also going to read some tweets. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R. Scott is at CBS Scott White. And Al is at Al Melk, CBS, Al M-E-L-C, CBS. That's Twitter, at Heath Cummings Sr. and at C Towers CBS. So it's at Heath Cummings SR. Follow us. Give us a follow. You might like what you see. All right, fellas.
You might.
Yeah, you might.
You might be repulsed.
I wouldn't say that.
It's possible.
The tweet of the day is from Justin Verlander himself. Last night, Justin Verlander said, I'm going to dominate soon. I'm close. Doubt me if you want. We'll see. Hashtag go Tigers. Does that just fire you up or what?
Yeah.
Scott's fired up.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, it's interesting. He kind of said this something similar at the All-Star break last year, right? After the first few starts off the DL, he was kind of up and down. Not much consistency. And then he's like, I'm almost there, guys. Really, I almost am. And then,
boom.
End of season. Yeah, he racked up one great start after another. So I don't know that it should just go in one ear and out the other. But at the same time, yeah, a lot of inconsistency again.
Yeah, sure was. I don't even know where to start. I mean, we have, I'll tell you, here's what we're going to do. We've got a big show. A lot of categories. I have gone category crazy on this show. We got a few players who have hit their first home run or stolen their first base of the season. We have Chris Carter, Mark Trumbo, and Justin Smoke who had multi-homer games. We have a number of pitchers that I'm going to ask you if you're ready to drop. We have Matt Harvey and Sonny Gray, who's obviously nobody's dropping, but what do you think about them? I got some DFS advice for you later, but also I want to talk about Francisco Lindor, Denard Span, just guys that we haven't talked too much about. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to start with everybody nominate one standout from Tuesday's action. We'll talk a little bit more about Verlander in a bit, but a non-Verlander standout, good or bad. Al, you can go first. Nominate away.
All right. Well, you said in our notes, I think, that it was a night of, or no, you said it on Twitter. That
I
was
did.
A bad night of pitching.
Crappy pitching. A night of crappy pitching.
Yeah. Okay. So, even more emphatic.
But you're going to take my guy?
I think you oversold. No, I'm not going to talk about Matt Wisler. Am I right
That's
about that?
That's not my
that?
Guy.
Okay. Well, he's not my guy either. My guy is Sashi Iwakuma.
Okay. Not my guy.
I didn't think he'd be your guy.
Scott's going Aaron Nola.
No.
Yeah, he overlooked him too.
Okay.
No, right. Scott's
let's
going Chris Tillman.
A little bit because Scott's going Tillman. I think a lot of people are probably down on him. Hasn't been terrific this season, but a good start here against the A's, but only 3 strikeouts in 7 innings. But if you go through the game log, I think that Iwakuma is, his stats are a little bit skewed because of the matchups. And I haven't given up on him as a strikeout pitcher. He was very good last year when he was healthy, not just overall, but as a strikeout pitcher. And he's had 3 starts where he's been an inning or a strikeout per inning or better. And then the other 3 starts are against the Yankees, the Angels, and then last night, the A's. And those are all teams that don't strike out.
Yeah. Okay. So you're encouraged by Sashi Iwakuma, all right?
I am.
Very good. Would you rather have Sashi Iwakuma or Vince Velasquez rest of season, Al?
I will go Iwakuma because I think he's going to provide. Well, again, the health thing is a little bit sketchy with him, but I still think he's going to provide more innings. And I think that he's going to improve as the season goes on and his matchups kind of even out. So, yeah, I'll give him a little bit of an edge over Vince Velasquez.
Okay, how about Aaron Nola or Sashi Iwakuma?
Okay, I gotta go, Nola.
Yeah, I would put Iwakuma on behind both of those guys, but but I'm not burying him, certainly.
Scott, talk about your Tuesday standout, Chris Tillman.
Yeah, you got it. Very good, Adam. Yeah, Tillman, I think, back-to-back 9 strikeout outings. I don't think that. I know that. But I think it may be, he may be having his Jake Arrieta moment where he was, you know, he was even a bigger prospect than Arrieta when they were both coming up through the Orioles system, although they both were very good. And, like Arrieta, just has underwhelmed for the most part in his career. Some modest successes, but nothing that would get anybody really excited in fantasy. This year, his velocity has been up consistently. Every single start, average fastball velocity above 93 when, yeah, he's used to throwing 91, 92 on average. And he's mixing in his off-speed pitches a lot more. So the fastball itself is better, and then it looks even better because of the secondary stuff he's working in there. He says he's throwing it for the secondary stuff for a lot more strikes, which is why he's more motivated to throw it. And we can see it translating to results. It was against
the Yankees.
It was against your Yankees, right,
so,
Adam?
Oh, yeah.
Strikeouts against the Yankees.
Yeah, that's not... They haven't been good, but they don't strike out much. So that makes it all the more impressive. And I think if you didn't pick him up for the 2 starts this week, which you probably should have, he was one of the ones that I think most of us were recommending him as a 2-star pickup, but I think you're going to stick with him even beyond this week. Is this may be a legit breakout.
Okay, Chris Tillman. They left a lot. They hit like one for 7 with runners in scoring position, like 2 for 20 with runners on base, 2 for 16, something like that. So that's a good matchup, but it's been a good season for him other than one bad start. I'll nominate somebody who's a little off the radar. He's 10% owned. Danny Santana, 2 for 4 with a home run. I don't really care about the home run, but I'm thinking, like, what is the difference between Danny Santana and Alcides Escobar? Santana has 4 steals in 12 games, now granted in 7 attempts. He's batting leadoff for the Twins. He's batted leadoff in every game he's played. So, huge breakout in 2014, huge bust in 2015. But Danny Santana, I picked him up in 2 leagues last night, both Roto leagues. What do you think about the Twins leadoff hitter?
I like the move. I like the pick as a standout, and I like the comparison with Alcides Escobar because I don't think there's that much difference other than maybe a little more fluidity in the Twins lineup not just the batting order, but the lineup situation. I'm not sure that I trust Santana to keep a starting job all year long, whereas Escobar clearly has one as long as he's healthy. But that's the only difference I see.
But we're talking pretty low end in mixed leagues if Escobar's the comparison, right? We're talking
right. But you need maybe steals and shortstop eligibility.
Yeah, okay. Just wanted to clarify.
Jonathan Villar or Danny Santana, who'd you rather have?
I'd rather have Villar. I think there's even more steals potential with him, as he has shown so far.
Yeah.
And actually, better plate discipline, too. He's been drawing a lot of walks this year.
I will take Santana, and I'll take Orlando Arcia over both of them, because I think VR's going to make way for Arcia eventually. I'm hoping maybe within a month or so.
A lot of people are going to be hoping that the Yankees call up Aaron Judge, and they're close to doing some drastic things. It's not out of the question that Luis Severino gets sent down, although yesterday's start wasn't bad enough for that. But Alex Rodriguez is going to have an MRI on his hamstring. Wouldn't be a shock if he ends up on the DL. I looked at Judge's numbers, though. I'm not sure if you guys have. He's doing better.
I'm looking at him now.
He's doing better than he did last year, but I don't think worth a call-up. So something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, he's doing better than he did last year at AAA. He still hasn't mastered AAA, which is kind of a problem because he's already 24. Mm. Get your act together, Aaron Judge.
Get it together. All right, so A-Rod, hamstring strain or hamstring something, we don't know. Irvin at Santana expected to start Saturday. Zach Britton was unavailable, ankle injury, still day-to-day. Darren O'Day today got the save for Baltimore. All right, now this got shot down, laughed at. No, not laughed at, but shot down yesterday on the podcast. I feel like Heath in particular, I'm not going to call him out. I don't think he seemed to care too much about Javier Baez, but guys, I do. He started at third base, went 0 for 5, but Joe Maddon raved about Javier Baez's defense yesterday. Another reason to maybe keep him in the lineup, put Chris Bryant in the outfield. Are you guys enticed by Javier Baez? In you know, obviously in the deeper leagues he's owned, but in the shallower leagues.
He doesn't like Javier Baez?
He's not old.
No, I don't know. I'm not sure where he stands. I just know that.
I think he just likes to shoot things down.
Well, especially when I do them.
I'm excited. Sure. He'll at least have second and third base eligibility and could still gain shortstop eventually. And monster power for any of those three positions. I don't think his power potential is any less than Chris Bryant's. Obviously, Chris Bryant is much closer to realizing it. But it hasn't been, with the playing time he's gotten so far, Baez hasn't been bad. It hasn't been like when he first got called up 2 years ago and striking out every other bat. And there's just no way this guy's ready. It looks like he could end up being one of those mid-May, mid-season breakouts.
Yeah, well, he has, I think, transformed himself somewhat offensively to go along with the defensive prowess. So I don't think we're going to see that version of Baez again where he's got horrible plate discipline and all those strikeouts. And I've also read that Madden is very impressed with Bryant's outfield defense. So, I mean, that just, to me, is super encouraging for Baez getting more playing time.
So Brandon Drury and Javier Baez are owned in similar amount of leagues. Who would you rather own?
Ooh.
I'd rather own Baez because I think the upside is higher. I don't think I'd own either in, and I guess you kind of brought this up toward the end. I don't think I'd own either in the shallower formats, the 21-man roster head-to-head leagues, because there are more than enough infielders to go around, it seems, in those formats. But when you extend the starting lineup, include a middle infielder, corner infielder, a couple extra outfielders, then yeah, the hitters are get thin enough that you could think about those two and their upside.
Yeah, I'll go Baez as well, but it's definitely a new development for me that I would even think about it with Drury in that picture.
You know, things have changed in fantasy where at the beginning of the season, it's easier, I think, to pick up players. You know, you see a guy get off to a hot start, you take a shot on him, but now those guys are owned, and the crappy players that were drafted, or we know they stink, and nobody wants them right now. So it's, I don't know, I feel like you have to kind of try to find some gems out there on waivers, and maybe it's Tyler Duffy, who's barely owned, or hopefully it's Danny Santana if you need steals, who's 10% owned, or Jonathan Villar's. Have you guys made any pickups, guys that aren't really that owned right now that you think in a week or two could be very owned?
Yeah, Duffy is probably at the top of the list. You know, going into this week, I picked him up in a few leagues. And yeah, he's widely available, and that's crazy to me because since last September, he's just been flat out, I mean, better than solid, just flat out very good. Guy I've also picked up who may not make a huge impact in the next couple of weeks, but I think down the road could, is Hector Neris, who's in the setup role with the Phillies and did act as substitute closer for Genmar Gomez a few nights ago. But I think if Gomez hits a snag, which is not totally unthinkable, mm-hmm. he would seem to be the guy, and he is just dominating the relief pool so far with the whiff rate and all of his ratios.
Looking Ken Giles like with that strikeout rate. The overall numbers aren't as good because he got off to a rough start, but David Hernandez's strikeout rate is off the charts too. It's the Phillies bullpen, as bad as it looked that first week, they suddenly have three legitimate late inning arms there. And the one who's actually closing and got his ninth save yesterday, how about that?
Yeah.
Is probably the worst of the three, Genmar Gomez.
Okay, Ender Inciarte could be back this weekend. Where do you have Ender Inciarte in your rankings, guys?
I'm going to say around 60th without having them open in front of me, but he'll obviously, once he's about to be activated, I'll bump him up, I'd say at least 10 spots.
Yeah, 50-60 range sounds about right. Not super exciting. If he runs more with the Braves, which seems like a possibility because they have to generate offense somehow, if that happens, I could see him cracking the top 40, but he's, for the lack of power, he is not quite enough of a base stealer to really be like a must-own player, you know?
Mm-hmm. And the White Sox are going to cut John Danks and call up Eric Johnson, but the fifth starting pitcher spot will be a fluid situation for the White Sox. Finally, Cincinnati's bullpen has allowed a run in 21 straight games. That is an MLB record. Wow.
Now that is one crummy bullpen.
That is.
The Phillies need to, like, exchange one of their three closer candidates for somebody. I don't know.
It does make you wonder if when Raisel Iglesias returns, Anthony Sclafani returns, Homer Bailey returns, if they're going to win any games with that horrible bullpen. They'll have to go eight every time out at least. All right. Couple of struggling studs. Matt Harvey, Sonny Gray. It should be noted that Matt Harvey was sick on Monday, getting fluids on Tuesday, and looked like a completely different pitcher than what we saw in his previous game, which I think was against the Reds. He looked really good in that start and struck out 7 in 6 innings. This was it just bad all around. You know, people are concerned. Are you moving Matt Harvey down in your rankings?
I have moved him down a bit. Still in my top 20. And, you know, I think that maybe there is some circumstantial reasons for why he's just not been very good so far. You know, that two starts ago looked really good. And maybe that was just a start that was sandwiched in between some health related issues, because he did have that issue, you know, before the season that a little cringeworthy to talk about.
Yeah.
But,
and then he got sick.
Yeah.
And they've been throughout this whole ordeal, they've been talking about this mechanical issue that he apparently has, especially with runners on base pitching from the stretch. And sounds like they're still not satisfied with where that is. So that's another viable explanation. There are enough viable explanations here, and while his average fastball velocity is down, he's still, you know, peaking at 97. I'm thinking he deserves the benefit of the doubt, but I don't know. Just maybe it's the whole Tommy John situation last year, and he pitched more innings than any pitcher ever coming off that procedure. But I feel a little more worried about Harvey than I do like Dallas Keuchel or Chris Archer. I still think his upside's higher than those two, but something about his situation, even with the possible explanations, just it just makes me uneasy by comparison.
Well, Terry Collins did acknowledge that the innings he pitched last year may be having an effect on Matt Harvey. Harvey kind of shrugged it off. But again, Collins has said that about Harvey and DeGrom, which just really bothers me, because that's exactly what I thought was going to happen with Syndergaard. But nope, it was the other two that I thought would be amazing this year. All right, so if Harvey, if you're, you know, still giving him the benefit of the doubt, but a little worried, where are you with Sonny Gray? I don't think this should have been that bad of a start. I don't think he should have come out for the eighth inning. He wasn't pitching all that well, and then it was terrible in the eighth inning, in which he didn't record an out, and some inherited runners scored. So it ends up being 7 runs in 7 innings on 11 hits. But now it's a 4.84 ERA and 2 bad starts in a row for Sonny Gray.
Yeah, no, I'm not alarmed yet. And actually, even though it was a terrible result overall, I was encouraged by the fact that there was just one walk and a good strikes thrown ratio, because that's the thing that really, if I had concern for Gray going into the start, it was that his control wasn't very good. So he improved there. Maybe the command wasn't what it should have been, but I think, like with Harvey, there's just no reason to think Gray won't iron this out.
And his first 4 starts were quality starts. He had a 2.73 ERA going into 2 starts ago. So it's really just a bad 2-start stretch. And like you said, I mean, he gets pulled after 7. I don't think anybody's really even noticing this start.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been that bad. I think it would have been 4 runs in 7 complete innings. So, yeah, it would have been. Okay, next group of pitchers. They're owned in between 77 and like 90-ish% of leagues, whatever Verlander is. And tell me if you're ready to drop them. Because, I mean, these are guys that have been frustrating all year long, pretty much. I'm just going to read the names. There are 5 of them. Are you ready to drop them? And the last 2 people are already dropping. They're under 80% owned. Colin McHugh, Justin Verlander, Patrick Corbin, Scott Kazmir, Luis Severino.
McHugh and Kazmir, yes.
I'd be okay dropping any of them except Verlander. I think McHugh and Kazmir would be the easiest to drop. I'm surprised McHugh's still 88%.
Yeah.
Because he was probably... I think I did have him ranked the highest of all these except for Verlander coming into the season. But I would have said he probably had the lowest upside of that group. Because last year, I mean, 2 years ago, I loved him with the strikeout rate, but last year he took such a big step back as far as that goes that it was really going to be, his value was really going to be relying on him pitching deep into games and the Astros backing him up with a lot of offense and him winning, kind of like he did last year. And he's not coming anywhere close to that. And I'm just not sure the upside is worth keeping him around for. The lack of upside, I should say.
I will say Scott and I think are probably very much on the same page here because I'm definitely not dropping Verlander, and I want to talk about that in a second. But Corbin, just so many home runs. I don't really know what's up with that, but seems like he could bounce back. And Severino, I think, is just a case of hitters adjusting to him, and you know, I think he's got the wherewithal to make adjustments so that he can get back on track. Verlander is a puzzling thing. Because also with him, it's a lot of extra base hits, and there's not really a clear reason for it. He's always been a fly ball pitcher and always been very good at limiting extra base hits when he's otherwise been effective. But the velocity is back up with him after it was a little bit down in his first few starts, and so is the spin rate. His spin rate for the season, 27.09, which even by his lofty standards is exceptional. And this is for @MattyShack on Twitter. That is hella spin.
Matty Shack, been a long time listener.
Yeah.
All right. So McHugh and Kazmir. Kazmir coming off a 9 strikeout game at Tampa Bay, and they're good against lefties. They gave up 4 runs in 6 2/3.
They strike out a lot, though.
Yeah, they sure do. So McHugh and Kazmir are the most droppable for you guys. Would you drop either or both of them or neither of them for Chris Tillman?
Either.
Yep. I agree.
How about for Nate Karns?
No, I think I'm going to keep Karns behind both for now.
Well, here's the thing, because Karns to me is a matchups guy.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, he's got reverse splits, has his whole career. So with a good matchup, since I'm ready to drop McHugh or Kazmir for just about anybody with the right matchup, I would definitely make that play for Karns.
Can we circle back to Severino for a minute? Because I feel like that was one where maybe Al and I were at a little different place.
Yeah.
Severino hasn't had a good start all year, right? I mean, this last one was a quality start, technically, but, you know, 2 home runs, 4 strikeouts, and 6 innings, not very good. I'm not sure. Like, I think Severino's going to have a great career. He could end up having a great year still, but I'm not sure what makes him more deserving of protecting, keeping on your roster than like a Jose Berríos or,
you're right. 100% right. Absolutely. That's exactly what I felt. Cause I feel like he's Blake Snell, and I think he might go down to the minors. They just don't have anybody to call up, but they might, it's very possible. They talked about it on the broadcast last night. They've been writing about it, and this was his best start. And it wasn't even that good.
And I mean, Jose Berríos is one thing because he's a top prospect who hasn't pitched well, but on the other end, maybe kind of a middling prospect who does pitch well. Let's say Tyler Duffy goes out and has another start where he strikes out a bunch of hitters, doesn't walk anybody, just looks really good. What if Severino's your only choice to pick up Tyler Duffy in that scenario? Is it worth it?
Yeah, I think so. And maybe I wasn't clear enough about this, but I mean, Corbin and Severino for me are kind of on probation.
Okay. Like,
barring a really compelling reason to drop them, I do want to give them another start or two to show something better.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, you know, Duffy is definitely, you know, very high on the list of pickup targets for me. So that's probably a case where I would drop either one.
Should we be concerned about Jonathan Papelbon or Sean Tolleson, who, you know, Papelbon was much worse, but I think it was like 4 singles and a double for Papelbon last night. Should we be worried about either Papelbon or Tolleson?
I'm not worried about Papelbon, although, as I've said many times already this season, he's got a great setup guy behind him in Sean Kelly. So if it does look like his job's in trouble, there's definitely a great target there. And Kelly, Tolleson, I am definitely more worried about because he just, since last September, has not really been that good. And even with Kayla on the DL, the Rangers do have other options. I think Sam Dyson probably be the top one.
He had been, obviously had that blow up early in the year, but last 10 appearances, one earned run, and among the top guys in saves, nine saves, that may be tied for the lead. If not, it's really high up there. The strikeout rate is a little down, I guess. So you could harp on that, but I don't think, bears watching, of course, but I don't think this one start is going to put his job in jeopardy.
When you said that, I just imagined a bunch of like grizzly bears watching him pitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Tolleson got the save on Monday night, did not get the job done on Tuesday. So that brings us to the two home run club, because the guy who forced Tolleson to blow the save was Justin Smoke, who homered twice, and then he homered in extra innings. Pretty good game for him. By the way, yeah. That series, man, those teams hate each other. And so far, they have played two great games. It's been a lot of fun to tune into. Mark Trumbo now. So he had a two-home run game 15 games ago, and he had a two-run game yesterday. Within that 15-game stretch, you know, the 14 games in between, he had .278 with one home run, four walks, 20 strikeouts, and a .424 BABIP. So he cooled off other than some singles, I guess. But Trumbo is having a really good year, .337 with eight homers. And Chris Carter, 72% owned. He's got four home runs in his last three games. He hit two more yesterday. He's slugging .713.
He had another two home run game two games ago.
Right. Yeah, four homers in three games, yeah.
Yeah, oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Well, this is definitely what Carter does. So, I mean, I think he's, especially if you're pretty marginal at first base or utility or corner infield, you know, ride the wave, but also be ready for just a horrific slump at some point.
Yeah.
I think Trumbo too. I'm not as clear with it with him, but I know he's definitely had his streaky moments. Like,
oh,
I remember,
yeah,
I think it was the Diamondbacks where he went a long period without doing much power wise and then had like a month or so where he went off. So I can't say I trust either of them to be a mainstay.
I do like Trumbo a little more than Carter. And right now, at least in points leagues, they're 2 and 3 at first base. Carter second, Trumbo third. Neither is going to finish anywhere close to that. And Carter definitely not top 10. Trumbo probably not. Carter's upside in batting average, I think, is .230. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's like when he slumps, you're going to be like, why did I ever roster this guy in the first place? And he built you up a big home run lead, so that's why. But it's going to be painful at some point.
Okay.
Trumbo, he could hit .260. You know, his strikeout rate was actually down the last couple years, even though he was in and out of the lineup with injuries and it wasn't delivering the big home run total we had gotten used to. So I think there's a little more upside there and a little more possibility of consistency. But the play discipline overall is still bad, and I think that makes him much more valuable in Roto than points leagues, even though he looks like a great option in both.
Let's throw a welcoming party to three people who finally got on the board in one particular category. For Rendon and Lucroy, Anthony Rendon and Jonathan Lucroy, they hit their first home runs of the season. And Elvis Andrews, reverse jinx Elvis Andrews, he stole his first base. What's the most exciting thing for you guys in the welcome party?
For me, it's Lucroy. Just because I expected him to be one of the top three catchers, and it really was just the power that's been missing. I mean, he's been getting on base. He's even, you know, been hitting doubles. But and again, it's not really troubling if he goes a month without homering, because it's, you know, I don't expect him to be more than like a 15 homer guy. So if he has, you know, slightly off month power wise, you can live with that.
All right. And he's still a top five now in points league.
Yeah, that's what I was looking.
guys ahead of him include Wellington Castillo, who's, you know, obviously had that crazy home run binge. And Francisco Cervelli is on like 100 walk pace that obviously isn't going to last. So I think Lucroy is basically there. Rendon, I know, has been concerning for a lot of people. But you want to see more home runs, obviously. This is the first one. But he's on pace for only 93 strikeouts this year and is on pace for 31 doubles. So it's not like he's just been lost at the plate. Looks like he doesn't deserve to be a major league starter. It's just the home run total is lagging, and maybe the batting average is disproportionate to the strikeout rate. But I think the underlying stats there suggest better times ahead for Rendon. And even though second base is deep, still a good chance he finishes in the top five there.
I'm surprised that Lucroy is fifth in points. That doesn't shock me, but he's fourth in Roto in catcher rankings. So, you know, he's been very good at the position. It's been a pretty bad position so far this year. But if somebody's down on Jonathan Lucroy and then he does, you know, goes another couple games without doing much, pounce on that. Let's do some over-unders. Rest of season over-unders. Well, not rest of season. All season long, over-under. 15 home runs for Ian Kinsler, who now has 5.
Definitely over on that. He just needs 2 per month to do that. And he was much better power hitter later in the year, last year. So this seems to be sort of a carryover for him.
He's having a good year.
He's a tough one to figure out. But, I think at this point, 2 homers per month rest of season should not be too hard for Kinsler.
All right. Kinsler is the number 3 second baseman in both formats. How about this over-under 1.5 catchers in the ideal fantasy baseball league?
Oh, you know I'm taking the over on that. I love the 3 catcher leagues.
Jeez.
Oh, do I have to pick an over or under?
Yes, you do.
Okay, I guess 3 catcher. Over 1.6 is ideal.
Oh, no. It's the under here. 1 catcher is the ideal.
No fantasy agenda.
I was rostering. Okay, there was a cool article on our website yesterday by Jonah Carey. And it was unlikely leaders in some MLB categories. One of them was exit velocity. Do you know who's leading baseball in exit velocity or as of yesterday? He's a catcher.
Wilson Ramos?
Scott, you always seem to guess my trivia questions correctly.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to get this one. Maybe like Yadier Molina.
Cameron Rupp.
Okay.
Ah. Oh.
So I was actually rostering Carlos Ruiz because of injuries, and then I saw that Rupp gets a lot more playing time. So that was stupid.
He's erupted.
Yeah, it was stupid to begin with. But
the joke?
What'd you say?
No, never mind.
Baseball's unlikely leaders. Read it right now on CBSSports.com. It's really cool. Odubel Herrera, we know, leads in walk rate. Cameron Rupp in exit velocity. There's something on.
It's all Phillies.
Oh, how about ERA versus pitching independent numbers? That would be David Price, 6.14 ERA. I'm not going to leave the article on the air, but it's cool. Check it out. All right. 30 home runs for Robinson Cano, over under. What does he have? I think he has 9 now.
9. Yeah, 9. And he's not slowing down. That puts him on like a 52 homer pace, I think.
What if he gets 21 rest of season? If that were his pace for the whole year, then that would be what, like 25 for the year. So that seems very Cano like. So I'll take the over.
I think so too. Not by much. He's obviously not going to hit 50 home runs, but I'll give him 31.
Is Cano your number 2 second baseman?
He's mine.
Al.
He is not mine, but
come on, Al.
He needs to move up. Dozier needs to move down.
So he will be?
And I think he will be.
Okay.
I think he will be.
Beautiful. How about over under for a guy who's 70% owned, 70%, 30 home runs for Byung-ho Park?
I think I'm definitely going to take the over here. I have been impressed with his power. Most of his home runs are extra long.
Yes.
They're on the extra long end of the spectrum. And a couple opposite field shots, too. So not just a swing from his heels type. Is going to strike out a lot, but it hasn't been as bad as I feared. He was like 1 every 3 at-bats in Korea, and it's basically been the same thing here. It hasn't gotten worse facing major league pitchers. So for a guy who strikes out as much as he does, I've been impressed by the caliber of hits he gets, I guess, in both in terms of direction and length.
So Byung-ho Park is the number 20 first baseman in points leagues, number 15 in Roto. It gets bunchy. I mean, if he had just a few more hits, he could be like the number 15. He'd be Jose Abreu, who is around 15th in points. How would you compare Byung-ho Park with the 2 first basemen we talked about earlier, Mark Trumbo and Chris Carter?
Well, I certainly expect him to be more reliable than Carter. Not, you know, the same power upside, but also not the same batting average downside. So I'd rather have Park. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Trumbo's a little bit tougher.
Yeah, I think I'd take Trumbo over him. But ask me again in a month and it could change.
Yeah, if I have either one, I'm not trading one for the other. So that's how
how
close it is for me. If you're going to force me to pick one, if I'm drafting right now, I'm taking Trumbo.
And over under 2 ERA for Jake Arrieta. 2.00 ERA for Jake Arrieta. Over under.
I'll take the over.
Yeah, me too.
Really?
Funny thing about Arrieta, I know he's best pitcher in baseball right so far, 6.84 ERA. He hasn't had more than a strikeout per inning in any individual start. And he's only once had more than 6 in a start, and that's pitching deep into game. So I don't know what's up with that. I'd like to see better strikeout rate from my ace.
And that was, I think, similar to the pattern first half of last season. I don't think he was killing it with strikeouts, but as I think we talked about after the no-hitter, he's been, you know, the best high-level pitcher in terms of avoiding hits on balls in play, and he's, you know, been doing that for like 3 years.
Yeah, let me check on that first half. Which, you know, I just want to clarify, I still have him third in my starting pitcher rankings. This isn't me sounding the alarm on Jake Arrieta, but it's not a situation where, like with Clayton Kershaw, his FIP makes him out to be a sub-2 ERA guy, which is just ridiculous. You never see that. Arrieta's going to be a little more vulnerable to bad starts if he's not missing bats at the same level. First half last year, he still had more than a strikeout per inning overall. It did get a little better in the second half.
I don't know. I gotta say, Scott, I feel like you're one spot too low on Jake Arrieta.
You'd take him over Scherzer?
I would, and I think most people would at this point.
Most people probably would. I mean, 0.84 ERA is hard to argue. He had a 0.75 ERA in the second half last year.
It's amazing, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to keep him behind because of the strikeouts. If that wasn't part of this discussion, he would be number two for sure.
Scott or Al, who's number who does number two work for?
I mean, it's Austin Powers, but
that's Dr. Evil.
But he works for Mini-Me, right? Or I mean, for Dr. Evil.
Yeah. Yes, he works for Dr. So who do you have number two? Arrieta.
I got Scherzer.
Scherzer? Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, I've got Arrieta 4 behind Mad Bum. And if anybody's done anything in the first month to make me question my preseason expectations, actually it would be Mad Bum.
Yeah, that needs to change. That needs to change immediately.
What's wrong with Mad Bum?
Are you serious? It's not about what's wrong with Mad Bum, but come on. I think Arrieta deserves to be ahead of Madison Bumgarner at this point. And Bumgarner hasn't been otherworldly. He hasn't been great.
Oh, no, you're right. Arrieta deserves to. I got caught up on the Mad Bum lowered your preseason expectations. And I'm like, what has he done wrong? But yeah, I mean, Arrieta definitely over Mad Bum.
Well, but you all were saying that before the season.
Yeah,
and I, Mad Bum's considerably younger, and I think he could take another step forward. Now sixth into the season, I think I need to weigh performance against potential a little more heavily. I'm not there yet. Talk to me next week.
Okay. I want to talk about daily fantasy baseball. Daily fantasy baseball is a wonderful thing. With seasonal fantasy, you don't really have that many difficult decisions to make on a daily basis. You got the players that are on your team. You set your lineup. That's it. But with FanDuel, you can draft a new team every day. You have to make decisions regarding every player in baseball. It's awesome. Go to FanDuel.com, play daily fantasy baseball right now. Contests start at just $1, and you can win some money and play fantasy baseball. What could be better? Play on FanDuel.com. I promise you'll love it, and you'll get really into it. Our offer for new users, sign up today, enter your first league, and if you don't win a cash prize in that league, FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. So go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, sign up with our promo code. It is HOMERUN. The promo code is HOMERUN, no spaces, one word, and you get that offer. I really think you're going to love FanDuel. If you play, then you know how great it is, so keep on playing. I'll give you some lineup advice in a little bit. Let me run through some more injuries. Travis d'Arnaud still has not begun baseball activity. He's on the DL. Billy Hamilton, jammed thumb. It's been bothering him for several weeks. He left yesterday's game.
Can we stop on that for a second?
Yeah.
And I can say two words, Jose Peraza.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it's, I think he could be called up if this is a long-term thing for Hamilton.
And like, what would you, you know, where would you add Jose Peraza?
Standard mixed roto for the Steels.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Would you add him over like Jonathan VR?
Definitely would.
Okay.
Robbie,
I don't know
Erlen,
that I would, but fair enough.
You would not. Right. Robbie Erlen, Tommy John, Joe Kelly's going to make a rehab start Friday. Do we need to talk about John Lamb?
We are now.
I think he's worth talking about. Probably the amount of time we've already spent on him deliberating whether to talk about him.
Well, here's my quick take on it, which is there's strikeout upside, there's home run downside, and there's a potential number squeeze in the rotation with, well, assuming that Homer Bailey and Anthony DeSclafani are back. So they both have had setbacks, so maybe that buys Lamb time in the rotation. But I think his job security is pretty iffy.
Yeah, but the fact that he didn't have the strikeouts in this start and was averaging 88 on his fastball. I mean, he averaged, what was it last year, 10-point-something strikeouts per nine, 10.5 in 10 starts. So there is the upside, but coming off back surgery, I'm not sure he's back to form yet. So, and I wouldn't be rushing to pick him up even if he was because of the home run downside, like you mentioned.
Okay, then we think we just talked about John Lamb. Carlos Gomez returned. He doubled twice. Gene Segura should be back in the lineup today. Justin Bour has a pinky injury. The Cubs called up Ryan Kalish as Matt Caesar's on the DL. And Joe Panik is expected back in the next few days. Here are some lineup notes. Corey Dickerson sat against the lefty. He's been really bad lately. Derek Dietrich and Justin Bour sat against the lefty, but Dietrich will be in my FanDuel lineup tonight against Ruby De La Rosa.
And tomorrow night, he is supposedly going to start against Robbie Ray, a lefty.
There you go.
That was the note on the Marlins broadcast last night.
And JT Realmuto led off for Miami. We'll see if that happens more regularly against lefties. Realmuto, I think, will also be in my FanDuel lineup tonight. Because De La Rosa's...
I don't know.
Oh, no, no, I'm sorry. No, that's a righty. He matches lefties, right?
Yeah, Ruby's a righty. And yeah, by the way, Ruby... probably a good tournament play himself. I understand why you might want to start hitters against him, but his last two starts, he has been electric, piling up the strikeouts. And he turns in another one of those starts against a suspect Marlins lineup, which seems highly possible. I think he gets added to that Chris Tillman time to get excited about him again list.
Then we'll go to three up and three down. We want to save some time to grade trades. So let's talk about these guys. Three up, Francisco Lindor, who is now the number 8 shortstop in points, number 7 in roto. Jock Peterson and Marcell Ozuna, three very different players. Let's start with Lindor. Scott, your thoughts overall on Lindor, who hit his second home run. He has 4 steals this year. He's doing an okay job. You know, after yesterday, it looks a lot better.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, every time a player has a big game at this point in the season, suddenly their overall numbers look good if they were even anywhere close to respectable before that game. So, yeah, looking at Lindor's overall line now, on pace for 14 home runs and 20-something stolen bases, batting .315-ish. Basically what I hoped for. Striking out more than I thought, and that's something to watch because you need him to hit for batting average.
I'm sorry, Scott.
The complete package, the fact that he's taken a step forward as a base stealer like I hoped, has me more or less satisfied with what he's done this year. And I was the highest of him on him of any of us on the podcast coming into the year.
And I was the lowest, so I'm going to throw some cold water on him now.
Okay.
So now he has a home run against righty, and his numbers are still, his slash line is .250, .333, .365 against righties. He is just mashing lefties. That's what he's always done. And obviously that does help his overall numbers, but I think it does make him potentially benchable in certain weeks.
He got a shortstop on pace for 35 home runs and 14 home runs and 35 doubles though. I mean,
but I'm just saying if he's got a week where he's not facing any lefties.
But for who? Who would you bench him for? Jordy Mercer?
No, not Jordy Mercer.
But well, I'm sure. that's probably the kind of shortstop you're going to find.
Okay, if somebody's dropped Eugenio Suarez. I mean, shortstop's gotten deep, so somebody in that territory.
I don't know that it's going to stay. I don't have a lot of faith in Eugenio Suarez's staying power, or really not totally on board with Gene Segura, certainly not Jordy Mercer or
Trevor Story. Who'd you rather have?
Trevor Story I have a little more confidence in because of where he plays his home games.
Yeah, and
it may be a situation where you have to play Story on the road too, even though it's not the most favorable scenario. I just feel like shortstop is one of those positions where it's going, you can't really play matchups because there's not enough options to choose from, even still.
All right, let me wrap it up. Would you guys trade Trevor Story for Francisco Lindor?
Absolutely.
I would too. I do have Lindor ranked higher.
Jock Peterson, 82% owned. Is that, I mean, he had a good game yesterday, but is Peterson overowned?
Yeah, he's still striking out a ton.
So, okay, how about Marcell Ozuna, 41% owned. Three straight games with a home run for Marcell Ozuna.
And still batting .228.
Yeah.
he's got a ways to go. But no, I mean, he's been better of late, and, you know, I wouldn't drop Peterson for him.
Right.
But Ozuna is somebody that I think is now on the radar as potential fifth outfielder.
Let's go to three down. Mark Teixeira is three down number one. I still think he's a buy low candidate. Am I crazy?
Not crazy. I could find more exciting buy low candidates than him.
Well, yeah, we did a whole show on them yesterday.
We might be getting to a point with Teixeira, more in a head-to-head league with a smaller lineup than Roto, where you can just wait out him getting dropped.
I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that. But does 16 walks, 22 strikeouts. So he's still doing that. Here's the thing about Teixeira. I don't really trust him to be good against lefties. I think that skill is gone. The Yankees have faced a ton of lefties, so he'll start facing more righties. And he's often been a slow starter. I think he'll get better.
Fair points, all of them, especially the lefty thing.
Steven Souza, 65% owned. Are you guys done with him, or do you still want to hold on and see what's there?
Nah. Five outfielder league, but otherwise, no.
Yeah, and even in a five outfielder league, if there was somebody really compelling, I wouldn't miss Souza too much.
And just to speed things up, Denard Span, I was going to mention because he's been a little cold lately, but still good in those points formats. And, you know, at one point he was the top 20 outfielder in both Roto and points, and then he got cold. So hang on to Span.
More walks than strikeouts, so that's going to keep him head-to-head relevant at least.
In the rotation, Aaron Nola, Iwakuma, Matt Moore was terrible. Jeff Samardzija, good start. Jose Quintana, great one again. 140 ERA. Pick one guy to talk about.
Did you just say Jose Quintana?
I don't think so.
Okay.
One guy? Man, I can't. Nola carbon copied his last start, the 2 hits, 7 strikeouts, and 7 shutout innings. And I guess we've talked about him enough. Probably the one who stands out here because it was a departure from what he's been doing is Matt Moore. But I think it was just one of those starts for him. He's still throwing strikes at a higher percentage. Obviously, he's gotten the strikeouts this year. Seems to have some home run issues maybe that we weren't anticipating. So kind of more like Drew Smyly in that respect. But I still think he's going to be a pitcher you want to start most weeks.
Fringy starting pitchers. Who are your favorites here? Tanner Roark, even though he's 88% owned, I'm putting him in this group. Marco Estrada, who I started and then dropped. You know, he's got his 2 starts, but off my roster for next week. Chris Tillman, Stephen Wright. We'll start with those 4, more highly owned. Roark, Estrada, Tillman, Wright. I know Scott likes Tillman the best. Who's second?
And I do too. Just slightly over Roark.
Did you say Estrada?
Yes.
Yeah. I actually like Roark over Tillman, and I like both more than Estrada. But I'm beginning to come around on Estrada because I'm not sure where I read it. I need to give the person credit, but it was an article about how
mechanical adjustment.
Well, no, how pitchers are consciously pitching up in the strike zone.
I read that too. Where was that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, because I saw that too. I think it was Fangraphs, but I don't want to properly credit them if it wasn't.
Because pitchers have been hearing for so many years, you got to keep the ball down, got to keep the ball down. So hitters have learned to look down for pitches over time. It's been this kind of evolution on both ends. The hitters catching up to the pitchers. So now the best way to fool hitters is to throw fastballs up in the zone. And that's what Estrada's done since joining the Blue Jays, which explains why his numbers have taken such a dramatic turn, even though the strikeout rate is down and he's pitching in a park where you think his home run tendencies would get him killed. And so far it's carried over to this season. So I think he's probably going to be somebody who sticks on my roster. And as I'm saying this, Adam, I'm looking at this list and we still haven't talked about Matt Wisler yet. People are losing their minds.
Oh, yeah. Well, go ahead.
By the way, I'm about to be fired because that piece on Estrada was by Jonah Carey on our site.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. All are. Yeah, that's what I thought. That's why we all read it. and I knew it wasn't Fangraphs because I still don't peruse that site much. yeah, so, and if it has any, you know what? If it has anything to do with Canada, we should have known it was Jonah Carey. But, all right, fine. Talk about Matt Wisler. How excited are you about a guy who's 23% owned?
I mean, he won't hit the Mets yesterday over eight innings, right? He was trending on Twitter and has had, apart from strikeout rate, good numbers overall. I do think this start was a little misleading because according to Baseball Reference and, you know, Wisler himself made reference to this after the fact. A lot of line drive outs. He allowed 7 line drives in this game, which, you know, probably doesn't mean anything to people in and of itself. It was the most line drives he's allowed in any start this season.
For anybody.
Yeah. So while I do think Wisler is probably a little better than his 23% ownership, I don't think this is like his transformational start where he becomes this high end fantasy option all of a sudden.
Wisler or Aaron Blair?
Wisler.
Yeah, Wisler.
Wisler or Tyler Duffy?
Duffy by like miles and miles and miles.
Not by miles and miles and miles for me, but maybe by a few yards.
Okay, I'm going to give you some quick DFS advice. You guys feel free to chime in. I'm only looking at the late slate, which begins at 7 p.m. Eastern. CC Sabathia is facing the Orioles, so right-handed Orioles. Mark Trumbo's a little pricey at 3,700. Obviously, Machado is very pricey, but Adam Jones at 2,700. You know, you're hoping at this point that he gets going, but this could be a good guy to do it against. I like Jose Bautista against Colby Lewis. If Bautista's in a funk, he's down to 3,900. Here are his numbers against Colby Lewis. 4-for-12 with 2 home runs, but also 9 walks. 9 walks in 21 plate appearances against Colby Lewis and 1 strikeout. And walks count in FanDuel. So 3,900 is a pretty good bargain for him. As far as pitchers go, Jose Fernandez is interesting. He's clearly the ace tonight. I mean, there's no doubt. The second most expensive pitcher is Drew Smyly against the Dodgers. Jose Fernandez is facing the Diamondbacks. I don't know, guys. Like, Fernandez, he just hasn't quite been good enough. I can't blame it. 10,800 for him is pretty good value. But if you want someone a little cheaper, Carlos Rodon is 8,000, and he's facing the Red Sox, who have the second lowest OPS against lefties, ahead of only the Braves. I don't think they've faced that many lefties, but they've been pretty bad, and they were bad against Quintana last night. So something to keep in mind. Rodon, not a bad option. More hitters. Left-handed White Sox against Clay Buchholz. So Adam Eaton may be a guy you look at 3,400. Lefties have an OPS over 1,000 against Buchholz. You want to sit left-handed Red Sox against Rodon. How about this? Lefties against Carlos Rodon. This is important for daily leagues. They have a 296 OPS against Rodon. A 296 OPS. It was 524 last year. So Rodon is looking like a guy who is going to be just absolutely impossible to hit for left-handed hitters. And if you want a long shot, 2,100, Ryan Howard. Good numbers in his career against Mike Leake, and he just seems to play well in St. Louis. It's his hometown. He homered yesterday. So I'd never be excited about Ryan Howard in my lineup, but 2,100.
He homered yesterday.
Right, yeah. It's a home thing. So again, he's as cheap as it gets and could help you fill out the rest of your roster. And the first basemen are interesting because I don't want Goldschmidt tonight against Jose Fernandez. I think the second most expensive first baseman is Chris Davis, and Sabathia is actually good against lefties. and David Ortiz against Rodon. So Edwin Encarnacion, $3,300. That's probably the winner, even though he's been terrible. But Ryan Howard, $2,100, not so bad. It's great.
What
trades.
About Abreu versus Buchholz?
Oh yeah, you could do that. Buchholz, you know, for what it's worth, has been pretty darn good against righties this year and terrible against lefties. But Abreu has like an 8-game hitting streak. He's not hitting for a lot of power, but Abreu is not a bad
choice.
5 straight
2-hit games actually. Got that batting average up from 190 to 252 during that stretch. So he's hot for sure.
Yeah, hot damn. Grade the trade.
A lot of trade to you, Adam.
What? You could have had Jose Quintana, Al. grade the trade from Kyle. This is an interesting one. Give up Mookie Betts and Jason Kipnis. Give up Betts and Kipnis. Get Trout and D. Gordon.
Oh, that is A minus.
I'll agree. A minus.
Really, you would keep Gordon on your bench that long?
It doesn't matter. Yeah, take him out of this, and it's Betts and Kipnis for Trout, and it's still a really good trade for the guy getting Trout, right?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. By the way, D. Gordon's been dropped in a lot of leagues, and I still haven't picked him up. It looks like the earliest he could come back is like July 28th or something. David from a college town in northern Kentucky says, "Dear Axe, Irish Spring, and Old Spice."
Scott, that has to be Lexington, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. But Scott, you know what that is, right? That greeting?
Well, they're at least body washes. Now, yeah. Irish Spring is my brand of bar, of choice.
Really?
Okay. I don't know about Axe and Old Spice if they make bars.
I don't think they do. I think they're very 21st century. I don't think
they're not appealing to the old guys like me.
10-team head-to-head points league. He would give up Strasburg and Donaldson. Woo! Better get something good back for Strasburg and Donaldson. He's getting Kershaw, Felix Hernandez, and Mike Moustakas.
That's pretty good.
You know what? I don't like it.
Okay.
It's a C minus.
And, you know, we're coming at this from a different place because I had Kershaw ahead of Donaldson coming into the year, and you have Donaldson ahead of Kershaw. So who's getting the best player? It depends who you ask. And both have been great to start the year.
Yeah, I just don't know that. Everybody's a downgrade from Kershaw, but Strasburg's not much of one.
I can't go there. Not with his injury history. But giving up Donaldson, you know what? I'm going to just say this is a C. I could see myself going either way based on need.
Al, did you grade it?
C-.
C-, okay. Matt in Milford gives up Kenta Maeda in a head-to-head categories league. Gives up Kenta Maeda, gets Buster Posey.
A.
Minus.
Here's Victor. He's in a 12-team head-to-head points league. He needs pitching. Let's see. Okay, he's going to propose a trade. Give up Trout, get Jose Fernandez, and Justin Upton.
That is not good. But not embarrassingly bad. I'll give it a D+.
Yeah, I'll agree. D+.
Chuck from Brentwood, Tennessee. Give Parra, get Brantley in a roto league, 5x5. Give Gerardo Parra, get Michael Brantley.
That is an A-.
I'll give it a straight up A.
Okay, good job.
Yeah.
Here's David from Los Angeles. He says, "Dear Susanna, Vicky, and Debbie." Al, come on.
No.
A football team and a band.
Football team and a band?
Oh, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes, the Bengals.
I only know, it's funny, because when I saw Susanna, I thought Susanna Hoffs. So I should have just taken the plunge and guessed the others were Bengals, too.
I've never heard of the Bengals.
Yes, you have. I sang Eternal Flame on the podcast yesterday.
Well, it's Bengals.
It's Bengals?
Yeah.
Well, that's not a football team. That's apparel.
It's the same, basically.
It's like the Jaguars.
It's the same, basically.
It's the pronounced
right,
the same.
I'll put you in
basically.
A room with a Bengal and a Bangle, and we'll see how that goes.
I would definitely prefer to be in a room with Susanna. grade the trade. Scott, you never heard Manic Monday, Walk Like an Egyptian?
I have heard those.
Yes.
And Manic Monday was
but I didn't know they're by the Bengals.
You know who?
No, I don't know who. Jackson Brown wrote everything. He's always the answer.
No, Prince wrote everything, including Manic Monday.
Prince wrote everything. Okay. Now here's the trade from the Bengals. Give up Mazzara, Chris Davis, Jaime Garcia, and Gio Gonzalez. Give up Mazzara, Chris Davis, Jaime, and Gio. get, oh my gosh, this is an A. Harvey, Carrasco, and Encarnacion.
That is...
That, yeah, that is an A.
Yeah, I agree.
Last
one.
Actually, two more. This is no name here. So 11-team Roto, 5x5, give up Trevor Story and Yasiel Puig. Trevor Story and Yasiel Puig get Corey Seager and Jason Hayward.
That's a B.
Yeah, very solid return. I think I like both the shortstop, definitely the shortstop, and probably the outfielder more. So I'll even go B plus.
Yeah, I don't mind the trade. I just wouldn't trade for Hayward right now because of the elbow. I'm a little concerned. Yeah,
that's why I didn't go higher on it. But
Russell in Fresno, California, give Odor and Smiley a happy smell. Odor and Smiley.
Team name.
Get Altuve and Nola. So Odor and Smiley Altuve and Nola.
A.
Yeah.
Listen, it's obviously an upgrade at second base, but what do you think about the Smiley Nola?
I think it's an upgrade at pitcher too. Obviously less. It's obviously an upgrade.
This is the start that vaulted Nola at F. Smiley for me. Smiley, I think the fact that he has a 0.69 whip, I think it is right now, with his home run tendencies. I wish his ERA was a little lower than the 2.6 it is. I think mid threes ERA is probably a reasonable expectation, which doesn't mean he's bad with that strikeout rate, but I'll take Nola over him and, you know, Altuve easily. This is A plus.
No,
okay. I won't say A plus because you got to save that for those really ridiculous trades.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you for your time and thank you all for listening and for emailing. We're done for today. You know, we really have not talked much about Steven Strasburg, but we'll talk about him tomorrow, I promise. And Yasiel Puig, I think, as well.
Can we talk about Addison Russell?
Never.
Yes, we'll talk about Addison Russell tomorrow, Al, but we did talk about him yesterday. Talked about him yesterday. You weren't on the show, so
you weren't there.
Yeah,
I wasn't there either. For what it's worth, we may have been talking about it, but nobody would have heard.
You never got to hear me sing the Bangles, and you never
know.
So that's been a wacky Wednesday after a manic Monday. I'm Adam Azer. It's Wednesday, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Woo, hump day. See you later, everybody.